There are two readings this morning. The first is from Book of James, chapter 1, verse 12, and it can be found on page 1011 in the Church Bibles. James, chapter 1, starting at verse 12. Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial, for when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. But each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. Then desire, when it has conceived, gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brothers. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Of his own will he has brought forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. And the second reading is from Matthew chapter 6, starting at verse 9. It can be found on page 811. Pray then like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Thank you, Elijah. Let's pray. Lord, would you open up your word to us again this morning? Pray for the children and young people as they do likewise, that as together we see again something of your great revelation, your truth, that you will impress it on our hearts and enable us to live it out in our lives. We ask this for Jesus' sake. Amen. The Great Wall of China is the longest man-made structure in the world. It's included on the list of the seven wonders of the world. Built to fortify China's northern border, it is 13,170 miles long. That's the equivalent to half the length of the equator. It incorporates watchtowers and army barracks. The average height of the wall is 20 to 23 feet, and it is 21 foot thick. Remarkably, the enemy breached the wall. Now we might wonder how that could have possibly happened. Well, the answer is not what you might expect. It wasn't breached by breaking down the wall. Neither was it achieved by going around it. The enemy got through by bribing the gatekeepers. The weakness was the human heart. You know, the Christian has been rescued from both the punishment of sin, as Jesus took that punishment on the cross, but the Christian has also been rescued from the power of sin. Although we face sin, we still are able to overcome. Jesus Christ defeated sin through the sacrifice that he took of himself on the cross. We are rescued, we are secure, we are forgiven. And yet, we still struggle with sin. There's this continuous battle that is raging. That's why hymns were written, such as Onward Christian Soldiers, or Stand Up for Jesus, You Soldiers of the Cross, or O Church, Arise and Put Your Armor On. The Christian is secure, but the Christian still needs to be alert. Another hymn writer wrote these words: "A sovereign protector I have, unseen, yet forever at hand, unchangeably faithful to save, almighty to rule and command. He smiles and my comforts abound. His grace as the dew shall descend, and walls of salvation surround the soul he delights to defend." There it is, that wall of salvation that cannot be breached. And that's why we are given the invitation in Jesus' teaching on prayer in Matthew chapter 6:13 to ask for protection from temptation and deliverance from evil. Now, if you've never had to battle against temptation, then you're welcome to sit this one out. I guess I'm on pretty safe ground saying that. And so we're being taught how to pray. That's the basis of what Jesus is saying here in this incredible passage in Matthew 6. And what better teacher could we have on prayer than Jesus himself? Jesus, the eternal Son of God, when here on earth, was regularly in prayer with his Father. And what we have here in these verses that we have looked at over a series of weeks is a model for praying. Luke tells us that disciples had said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray." The Lord's Prayer has also been described as a skeleton for praying. The more you look at it, the more you see that prayer touches, this prayer touches every area of need. It addresses every element of what it is to live for the glory and praise of God. As we come to verse 13, we're praying for protection. "And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." As we look at this first this morning, I want to highlight a couple of things. The first is this, that we're on the battlefield. We're on the battlefield. Now, you might be wondering why Jesus should include such a specific request as part of his pattern for prayer. Well, the answer is actually simple. We are tempted. We do encounter and wrestle against that which is evil. Now, our sin is forgiven, yet we still battle against it. And of course, with all the devastating consequences of it. So Jesus is reinforcing the truth that we're going to need to pray this verse. Probably the best known Christian in the early church would have been the Apostle Paul, a great man, a great servant of God, we would say a strong Christian. And yet, he willingly confesses openly his ongoing battle with sin. In fact, he even writes it down in the Bible. He writes it down in one of his letters that ends up as being part of the canon of Scripture. Listen to this. It's from Romans 7, beginning of verse 21. This is Paul writing very honestly. He says, "I have discovered this principle of life, that when I want to do what is right, I inevitably do what is wrong. I love God's law with all my heart, but there's another power within me that is at war with my mind. And this power makes me a slave to the sin that is still within me. Continuing on, he writes this, who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin and death? Thank God. The answer is in Jesus Christ our Lord. And so even someone like Paul is acknowledging this and wrestling with this, as we all do. So, temptation. Well, temptation literally means to test. Or it can refer also to trials. But specifically, temptation leads to sin. Now, when we think about temptation, we think of thoughts or opportunities that present to us the means to do what is wrong. So I may be tempted to take something that doesn't belong to me or that I'm not entitled to. Or I might say something about someone or to someone that even if I believe it to be true, will be hurtful and discrediting. I'm tempted sexually when I find myself attracted to someone who is not my wife. I'm faced with an opportunity, which is often an attraction, to do wrong. In his New Testament letter, James gives us this helpful definition, and we just read it a few minutes ago. He writes this, temptation comes from our own desires which entice us and drag us away, and these desires give birth to sinful actions. The power of all temptation is the prospect that by doing it, it will make me happier. It woos me with some promise of satisfaction. As James puts it, it entices me. It drags me away. But here's the thing. Being tempted is not a sin. Remember what James says. These desires give birth to sinful actions. Can you see what Jesus' words in our text are saying? Lord, keep me from going through the door when it opens before my very eyes. On the night that Jesus is betrayed and then taken away to his trial and then to the cross, he's praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. But listen to what he says to his close disciples who are with him on that occasion. It's in Matthew 26:41. Jesus says this to them, watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And Jesus knows what he's talking about here. One of the most outrageous and frankly surprising accounts in the earthly life of Jesus, and there's a few of them, is the time that he's actually tempted by Satan. We read about it a few pages back when we were looking at Matthew chapter 4. There's no holding back here. Jesus is severely tempted or tested 3 definite times here. But here's the thing, Jesus is tempted, but he never sinned. Temptation is not the sin. The sin is when we give in to that temptation. You see the battle. So what is it that we are asking when we pray these words in verse 13 of Matthew 6? Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Is it that we're afraid that unless we do pray, God's going to lead us into temptation? No. Lead us not into temptation, Lord. Don't lead us there. But that can't be surely the answer. For James, when he deals with the issue, is again very clear in verse 13 of James 1. We read it again. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. You see, what we're praying in verse 13 here is that God will not lead us into the hands of temptation. The implication of the prayer, therefore, seems to be this, doesn't it? Lord, don't ever lead me into a trial which will present to me such a temptation that I won't be able to resist it. Let me take a minute and take you right back to the beginning of time, when God created Adam and Eve, the first humans on earth. And as you read in those first couple of chapters of Genesis, you see how God provides for man everything that he and she needs to live, but also to increase in number. There was, however, just one tree in the Garden of Eden from which they were never to eat. Now that sounds simple enough, doesn't it? Even I could remember one rule. We then go on to read at the beginning of Genesis 3 that the serpent, later identified as Satan or the devil, tempts Eve into eating this forbidden fruit. She then gives it to Adam. They're both culpable. And it's at that moment that sin, rebellion against God, enters the perfect creation. And ever since, temptation has woven its destructive way through mankind. And Satan wants us to fail. So be aware, we're on the battlefield. But let me share something else with you. We're on the victory side. For those who think that the first few chapters of Genesis are pretty unlikely, they explain why the world is as it is today. They show us why the gospel is so necessary and why it is so effective. And so we're praying that God will lead us away from temptation into righteousness. That God would deliver us from that which is evil, or as the Bible margin suggests, deliverance from the evil one. The evil one, that is Satan, wants to drag us down. Our only redress is to come back again to the cross. It's the place where sin is defeated, where we are reconciled to God. Colossians 2 verse 13 tells us that when you were dead in trespasses and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, he made you alive with him and forgave us all our trespasses. He erased the certificate of death with its obligations that was against us and opposed to us, and has taken it away by nailing it to the cross. The punishment for my sin was taken by Jesus. And by faith in him, I can know forgiveness and I can know eternal life. However, I'm constantly faced with reminders of my own weakness. Yes, I know that I'm forgiven. Do you know that this morning? Have you, as it were, been to the cross? Received that forgiveness as you come in faith to Jesus Christ? Will you come to the cross and be saved this morning? Grace paid for my sins and brought me to life. Grace clothes me with power to do what is right. Our experience of forgiveness doesn't lessen our concern about our sin. In fact, it serves to heighten a sensitivity to it, and therefore our desire not only to avoid it, but also to receive forgiveness for it. Listen to these words from 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. The temptations in your life are no different from what others experience. And God is faithful. He will not allow the temptation to be more than you can stand. When you are tempted, he will show you a way out so that you can endure. So when we're praying to not be led into temptation, we're asking for the Father's help in avoiding such circumstances and situations. We're asking for doors to be closed that have difficult situations on the other side. We're praying for our hearts to be strengthened and focused on that which is good. For wisdom to recognize and to avoid circumstances that will tempt us away from God's will. You see, I want to truly live like a citizen of the kingdom of God. I need to be delivered from evil. Whilst God doesn't tempt us to do evil, he does allow us to go through periods of testing. God may well allow those things and those times, but he will bring us through. So how can we avoid temptation that leads to evil? Well, the first thing is pretty obvious from our passage this morning, and that's the first thing is to pray. Pray this verse, but allow it to open up for us those areas where we really feel weak. Areas of our lives where we do struggle. Where we know that we're really not winning. Pray. Pray for God's help, his grace. Be much in God's word so that we can be deep in God's truth that leads us. Are there other ways that we can avoid temptation? Well, one thing is to avoid being in places or situations where we might be tempted to do what we know is wrong. We can think about the things that we read or look at. And going back to Paul, he, in his battle, also gives us some very sound advice. It's found in Philippians 4, verse 8, where he says, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is true, pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. We do need God's help. We know that we are citizens of God's kingdom, but for now, we live in a fallen world. That fallen world hammers against us with temptations of such strength that we can struggle to resist them. So we're told in Colossians 3, verse 2, set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. What is the goal of all that we desire of God in this prayer that we call the Lord's Prayer? What is the goal for everything that we ask in those verses? Well, you may have been wondering why the Lord's Prayer here ends in verse 13. What about the doxology? You know, the bit that goes, for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Well, some Bible manuscripts don't include this ending. That's why it's not included in some of our translations of the Bible, including the one we've read from this morning. We don't know whether Jesus said it or not. Some manuscripts have it, some don't. But let me tell you something that is absolutely certain. It's this. His is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. is an echo of King David's prayer in 1 Chronicles 29, verse 11, which reads, "Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heavens and in the earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head above all." When we pray, we come to the great and holy God, maker of heaven and earth. The God who is rich in mercy and sent his Son to be our Savior. The one to whom the child of God can come to prayer and in prayer say, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." And you know something? His is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. We're on the battlefield. We're on the victory side. Let's pray. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heavens and in the earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head over all. Father, enrich us in our praying as we take these principles that our Lord and Savior gave to us. Teach us to pray. And Lord, may we come with that great desire in all our prayers that the glory goes to you. Lord, teach us, keep teaching us, Lord, from your word. And help us, give us that grace, give us that boldness, give us that strength to go out this week and fight against sin and to glorify you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.